Many are called, but few are chosen. The Jewish people were called, but very few of them actually became Christians. They mistreated the prophets and killed God's son, and the king was God. And therefore Paul would be sent to the non-invited guests, the non-Jews and all and sundry, hence the word Catholic, universal. All people can belong to God's family. All who are baptized are invited to the banquet of eternal life in heaven, God's kingdom, by Christ the King. What's curious about this story told by the Lord to inspire the Jews to remain faithful was that one person got into the wedding feast who didn't have a wedding garment, and he was cast out. The wedding garment was essential to the banquet. Sanctifying grace is essential to salvation. And sanctifying grace is sometimes called habitual grace, habit. Can you imagine watching the grand final, be it AFL or NRL, a few weeks ago, and seeing one of the players come out in a different uniform or colour or jumper? You know, so what's he doing here? He's wearing the wrong gear. Off the game. Out you go. Because they're all meant to have the same uniform, all meant to be playing on the same team with the same rules. And if someone's there who ought not to be there, we would dismiss them automatically. Well, in a similar way, God doesn't need to dismiss those who at death don't love him. They dismiss themselves. They forfeit eternal life because they're not habitual in their grace factor. They're not wearing the wedding garment. They are not dwelling in the state of grace by their own choice. God does not send anyone out from heaven. People choose at the end of their life. Their life has been their choice, whether they're for God or against God. God needs not to send us to hell. We send ourselves. At the same time, if we've lived in God's grace, we are prepared for the banquet of eternal bliss, ecstasy and joy, and we are taken up to where a place is prepared for us. And that's what we hope for, that's what we pray for, and that's why we are baptized into God's family, to receive sanctifying grace, to belong to God, to have a life after death, the eternal promise of the kingdom of everlasting happiness. That's why we're here, that's why we bother with God, that's why we pray and come to Mass, because we believe we're in it for the long haul, eternity, everlasting happiness. That's our desire within, and that's our goal at the end of life. Meanwhile, we need to be bolstered by what we call actual graces. With regards to grace, or the G factor, there's sanctifying grace that comes from sacramental graces, such as baptism, fortified by Holy Communion. Sanctifying grace and sacramental graces are different to what we call actual graces, or divine blessings or favours. Actual graces are threefold in function. One, to put us into sanctifying grace. Two, to build up sanctifying grace. And three, to preserve us in sanctifying grace, so we don't fall out into mortal sin, detached, disconnected from God. So actual graces come to us through various means each day. Although the seven sacraments, there are many sacramentals. Reading the Bible is a sacramental. Praying the rosary, as many of you do, especially in the month of October, is a sacramental. The stations of the cross are sacramental. Anything and everything, with regards to person, place or thing, that's not a sacrament, is a sacramental. There are scapulars called sacramentals, and one medal, which is rather potent as a sacramental, that's called the miraculous medal. If you go into a Catholic bookshop or piety shop, you'll find medals upon medals, medallions for this or that, this saint, that saint, and rightfully so. But only one medal was ever designed in heaven and willed by God's mother to be worn on earth. And that's the medal given to a saint called Catherine Labore in 1830. She joined the order established by Saint Vincent de Paul. She had a vision in Paris of the Mother of God, who told her to have this medal made. She designed it. She told her exactly what was to be written on it. And the medal's really of the Immaculate Conception, which would be proclaimed in 1854. But the medal became known as the Miraculous Medal, because those who wore it with devotion received many graces. Many miracles did occur. But don't make the mistake of looking at a medal like a good luck charm. There is no such thing as good luck. But medals do bring blessings. Why? Because God knows we need to see things. A surgeon needs a scalpel. A footballer needs a football. We all need things to do our job. They're instruments to eat a meal properly. We need a knife and a fork. Well, God doesn't need us to wear medals, but we need to wear medals. We need to have some visible sign of our devotion within, some sign without. And hence the medal becomes an instrument of God's grace, not a good luck charm. One person who found that out in a rather remarkable way was born 200 years ago this year. His name was Alphonsus Ratisbon. Interesting character, 11th of 13 children, grew up in a Jewish family, Jewish by custom, not by practice. They were bankers, wealthy Jewish bankers. And his older brother, Theodore, had a conversion and became a Catholic and later on priest. The family ostracized him and completely rejected him from everything to do with them and their fortune. This priest, Ratisbon, was not invited or nor wanted. That affected Alphonsus so much so he became a complete and utter atheist and very cynical to God, church and religion, as many Australians are today. Anyway, he grew up, became wealthy, he would take over the family business, and he had to marry. He was engaged, and before he married, his health plummeted, so he was sent on a European journey, a tour, and ended up in Italy. He didn't really want to stop in Rome, but there was a Frenchman there who could help him financially and with his travel plans. So he went to visit him. His name was Baron Theodore. Alphonsus didn't know that Baron Theodore had become a Catholic, and a very fervent Catholic. So after the dinner that evening, after talking about business and plans, and as Alphonsus was going, Baron Theodore said, "Look, my faith is rather important to me. We've become very good friends. We're going to meet each other soon again, but in the meantime, would you do me the favour of wearing this small medallion? Let my niece put it on you." And of course he said, "Oh, well, if you have to, you Catholics are very superstitious people. I will abide by your wish. It won't do me any harm, but it won't do me any good either." So the niece put the miraculous medal around the neck of Alphonsus. And the Baron says, "Look, one other thing with regards to this special medal, you have to say this prayer each day." "A prayer?" he said. "I don't pray. Just say it for me, please." It was the Memorare, the prayer written by St. Bernard. Remember, O Most Gracious Virgin Mary, as you know. "Since it's twice a day, one in the morning, one at night, just say the words, would you please? And next time we meet, we'll have a chat about it." And of course, grudgingly, he did so and said, "Well, okay, I'll do that," because he wanted his insights on travel and business. So he said to himself, "Well, look, I'll wear this thing and put up with it until we meet again." Little did he know that within days, a count would be contacted, a Frenchman living in Rome, who was also an expatriate and a very good Catholic. And the Baron had asked the count, "Pray for a friend of mine called Alphonsus, and he converts. Would you please pray for him?" And this man did. He prayed 20 memoraries for him, and then suddenly died. He died. Next time that Alphonsus came to visit the Baron said, "Look, after, you know, we'll do our business after we go to the church. I've got to organise a funeral for a friend of mine who suddenly passed away." So they went into the church of St. Andrew's in Rome. And the Baron said to Alphonsus, "Just sit here and wait for me. I know you're not really interested in the Church of God, but please put up with me while I make the arrangements." He went off to see the priest, and the miracle occurred. Alphonsus suddenly found himself in darkness. The church had turned to shadows, he would later recall. And he fumbled his way through the church, and he found a glowing chapel, a brilliant chapel of light. He entered into that chapel, being summoned to it, and he fell to his knees. He saw a lady. He saw the Mother of God as depicted on the medal he was wearing, and he wept, wept, wept. Tears of sorrow, sadness, then joy. He doesn't know how long he stayed there, but when his friend came back, the Baron, he couldn't find him anywhere, and eventually found him in his chapel, crying, weeping on his knees. And he brought him to his senses, and then he left the church, and it was explained to him what had happened. Alphonsus had received a miraculous grace of conversion. He needed not to want to know about travel now. All he wanted to know was where and how he could be baptized. He'd received the faith, seen the error of his ways, God had touched his soul. Light had penetrated darkness. It was all through that vision of Mary. Alphonsus did not return back to France because he wasn't welcome in his family. He knew what would happen if he returned as a Catholic. He went off rather to become a Jesuit and worked with the Jesuits for many years until he felt called to go to Palestine and convert the Jews there. So he made contact with his brother, who was already a priest, and together they went off and set up institutes in the Holy Land to convert and instruct the Jews that the true Messiah is Christ. And there he spent the rest of his life. Those institutes are still going. It all started with a medal, the miraculous medal given by a fervent Catholic. But we needn't go so far back in time to find the efficacy of these sacramentals. Just in the year 2011, it was featured in the papers, it was on Current Affairs. A little girl called Claire. Claire was 3 years old, but her father ran over her in the family van. She somehow got out of the van at the service station. Dad was taking the family somewhere, and she got out somehow, and he drove off and felt a lump under the tyre. It was the three-year-old daughter, Claire. The car was parked on top of her, the van rather. Tons of metal was on his daughter. He got the van off, the police arrived, the ambulance, she turned from green to blue to violet. They didn't know whether she'd survive. They took her to the hospital, they did all the tests and x-rays. The next day, she was fine. Not one broken bone, not one injured limb, no internal damage whatsoever. It featured in the papers, as I said, and the news picked up on the story. What most people don't know, and as the mother did say, was that an hour before she hopped in the van to go with Dad, Mum put on her little daughter's chest the miraculous medal. And to this day, Mrs. Hill claims it was the medal and the Mother of God that saved her daughter, who should not be alive, or at least, if she did survive, would have such a trauma. So never doubt the value of God's sacramentals, the actual graces he gives us, how he gives them to us, and why, to keep us always as healthy, holy members of his family, always ready, willing and able, dressed in our habit, or rather our wedding garment, awaiting the kingdom prepared by the King himself. Praise be Jesus Christ.